Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is a move that we anticipated, but we just didn't think it would happen today. If you're just joining us, the Falcons have released Younghoe Koo, which means Parker Romo. We told you guys, Parker Romo is not only going to kick this week, Mike, he has been signed to the active roster, and that's going to be our guy moving forward. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I said this to Carl earlier. I can understand why Coach Raheem Morris gave himself as long an insurance policy to explore with this. You had three trips up and down from the practice squad to keep him before eventually you'd have to put him on the roster officially. So maybe Koo just continued to struggle in whatever they were evaluating, Carl, midweek, and they just decided to make the move. I don't know. I just felt when you make five kicks, including a 54-yarder, you know, I mean, you've passed the audition. And Koo, after years of great service, like he wouldn't be the first kicker to lose his way, get it together, and go have a great career somewhere else. And maybe that's – and we wish him well. But for fans, it just got really exasperating because when you can think of like four or five games off the top of your head that he didn't even give you a chance to win or he lost outright, it's time to go because you got one job. And he did. And so we wish him well. But now it's hopefully Parker Romo's job and he doesn't screw anything up moving forward.
So that news is one. The second part of what happens this weekend is no A.J. Terrell, and that became official today, Mike. Even though Ross said he doesn't expect this to be a long-term thing, it's probably a week-to-week thing, but we said this. I'm still comfortable and confident, guys, that we can go to Carolina without our number one corner and handle business. I like the depth in the secondary, but it's official, Mike, no A.J. Terrell this weekend.
Yeah, so that means, and again, we've talked about the depth chart and how the Falcons move, and we spoke about it with Coach Raheem Morris, and look, you know, Coach is always glass half full, but, you know, there is a bit of a step down, certainly from a guy that you gave a big contract extension to the next guys, whether, you know, that's going to be D. Alford or DeMarco, I mean, or Natron Brooks, I should say, that move up, but those will be the guys that will be called in. Now, the good news is, if this was last year, I think we'd all be freaking out. When you've got a defense which looks so good and cranked up the kind of heat that they did in Minnesota, and with two backups now plugged in, although, as Wes Durham pointed out, the same guys who were on that Carolina offensive line last year when they humiliated us in overtime are going to be starting. So they're not going to have a chance to play against Jalen Walker last year or James Peace Jr.
No.
Or Leonard Floyd because our guys weren't here either.
It's a great point. 404-726-0929. Your thoughts are welcome, guys. You can always text us. Find us on social media, Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and follow this radio station at 929 The Game. As far as this game itself, it's personal for me. And I said as much to Coach earlier this week, and he said, hey, I understand that, but I want you to hear his comments to us as we asked him, is last year a motivating factor? Mike's talking about it. Right. You've got similar players on both sides. Here's what Rod told us earlier this week.
You internalize it, right? You got to go and you got to look at the whole picture, right? There was some really special things that came out of the game from offense. Michael Penix throwing for a bunch of yards.
Yes.
Showing confidence, throwing the ball down the field. And it's probably the reason you're not getting a bunch of single high defense right now and you're able to run the football. Then you got to look at the defense side of the ball. There was a bunch of letdown. There was a bunch of things that we gave away that reaching and pressing. And then you got to take away from the lessons of, if we won that game and Tampa lost, we were in the playoffs. We lost that game. Thank God Tampa won. Right. Or we'd really be upset, right? But those are the moments where you got to capitalize, and you can't look at anything. Everything is gray matter. You got to go play the game to win. And nothing else matters. I'm not going to let that game cloud this my judgment on this one, but I'm not going to like them any less or any more because of it.
I'm not going to like them any more or less. I am trying to go win a game. He's right. As a fan, it just left a bad taste in our mouth because we had to deal with that all offseason, right, Mike. So this is our first chance of seeing Carolina. It's a big game because it's a divisional game. But, man, I want to go beat these guys.
Right, as he said, thank God, the Bucs did beat the Saints, because if we lost that game and the Saints beat the Bucs, and the Bucs backdoor into the division after us blowing a three-game lead, and that would have been a bitter pill to swallow. When you've got Michael Penix Jr. in his third start throwing for 300 yards, and yet your defense was like the Keystone Cops. But the good news is they invested in the defense, and the second-year players are coming to their own. We discussed Rook Arororo, how good he's been playing. Certainly, Zach Harrison looks great. There's just a lot of depth now on the defense we didn't have last year against Minnesota, against Carolina. Yeah. So maybe we can, make amends. The Buccaneers felt they had unfinished business before they played us. We got that from Rick Stroud before week one in Tampa Bay. Jake Matthews said, look, as a divisional rival, maybe a little bit extra sauce. But, yeah, let's go up there and beat the crap out of these guys.
Handle business.
Right on. And they take them down to 0-3, which, as you said, for a team like that is
death.
Forget about it.
Yeah, it's tough. Drake London was talking about what Coach just said, guys, talking about how teams are attempting to play Michael Penix. Drake London said, look, this is respect for our quarterback.
It depends on how you take it. I mean, you can take it as if they don't have respect for the O-line. They want to see, you know what I'm saying? You can take it all different ways. But, yeah, for him, it's definitely some respect for not.
Because what they're saying is, we're not going to let Michael Penix beat us deep. We're not going to let him throw the deep ball and have these big plays. So we're not going to allow that. We're going to play these two safeties. And that's what you're seeing, which, again, opened up Bijan. If the Carolina Panthers play what they've traditionally played, guys, which is cover three, we're going to have another – Penix is going to eat them up underneath, and then we're going to have another big day running the ball because they don't want to get anything behind them. I think that opens up, Mike, for a day where it may not look like a lot of yards, but at the end of the day, watch, Penix have 275, 290.
Hey, we've compared, and it was compared by, the guys on Sunday Night Football on NBC, Saquon Barkley, to Bijan. Well, again, if we win 11 or 12 games and Michael Penix Jr. throws for 3,000, I don't give a crap. If we're winning the way the Eagles win, because everybody wants to, Cam Newton gets in his bag because Jalen Hurts has a Super Bowl ring and he doesn't.
Egregious.
It's egregious. Well, guess what? They're playing smart football. If you can't stop Saquon Barkley and if they can't stop Bijan, what's the point in having Penix throw it 25 times, right?
Yeah.
I don't give a crap about the style points. Yes. Now, as fans, we want to show off that we got a dynamic offense and Michael Penix Jr., who we looked it up. His passing yards in college, the average was insane. It might not be that just yet because he's got a running game he never had at Washington, what we've got here.
One other thing we want to hit on, and then we're going to talk about how this game plays out. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We will get into some college football conversation, and apparently you, sir, want a revision?
Well, I just needed to look at the injury report. It broke after we did our pick segment, in my defense.
Was this the North Texas game?
No. God, no. That's the block of the friggin' week.
North Texas.
North Texas Army, the over. Bank it.
All right,
51.
All right.
Cold lock of the century.
Yeah, we're going to get to that because I want to hear this revision on what you want to do.
Make some green on the mean green.
Okay. That's on the way in less than 10 minutes. I want you to hear our defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, and he said, look, this is more about figuring out what offense the Panthers are trying to run. What's their identity? We talked about this. We had a great guest on. We went behind enemy lines, and he was talking about the problems right now. He said Bryce Young, guys, last week, fumble, right? You move the ball a little bit, interception. Mike, if he's prone to that this week, you're talking about turnovers for us again. That bodes well for us. Here's our DC, Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah, I think figuring out who they are on offense is the biggest challenge right now, because you'll see a much more traditional style offense early in some of those games. And for the vast part of most of last year, you saw an offense, they were quarterback under center. There was run, there was play pass, there was keepers, there was quick game. There's just the traditional NFL offense that you see from week to week. But then there was this alternative version of them that came out and spread everything out and max splits and empties. You saw the quarterback flourish in that way, where he was playing point guard and distributing. And I think it gave him clarity as far as what he was getting from a defensive perspective. And he had great success doing it. It was a big part of the reason that they got back in that game last week. So when you prepare for this team, you're preparing for two offenses in some ways.
Teteroa, we talked about him, McMillan, with 11 receptions, 168 yards. Hasn't gotten the end zone yet. Hunter Renfrow, remember him? Everybody's favorite plucky receiver from Clemson?
For sure.
Who was out of football for a minute. Now he's back, and he's actually having some success. He's got two touchdowns. So, like, it's just hard as a Falcon fan to wrap your head around, like, are we going to all of a sudden really have this pass rush, which is going to, you know, really get after it? We did everything, you know. I know that we talked and we argued about, you know, success rate and finish rate and getting the quarterback on the ground against the Bucs. Couldn't do it when it mattered most and just destroyed J.J. McCarthy. Is Bryce Young going to sit? He's not a mobile quarterback like you think. Mm. So, I mean, maybe this is a chance for us, as Carl would say, to go hunting.
Facts. Got to go do it, man. Look, I this is how I feel, Mike. You tell me what you think. It's Dukes and Bell. Game starts. We get out to a fast start. And what I mean by that is we score. First couple of possessions, whether it is Parker Romo.
By the way, you taking the ball first like we did in Minnesota if we win the coin toss?
Go show them.
I got to be honest. Generally, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But it obviously pretty worked. And we I apologize for not bringing that up with Coach. But if we do it again, that worked out pretty well.
Strategy there, Mike. You score. Crowd shuttles down.
Right.
Right. That was the whole thing. You get the ball. Forget about giving them the momentum and allowing them to go down. I love the act there or the decision to do that. But we start. Score the first couple of times. I'm just telling you, this is how I feel like this plays out. I'm not telling you Carolina's going to lay down. And all of a sudden, Mike, the mistakes happen. We capitalize. There will be at least two turnovers, whether it's a strip sack, turnover, interception. He's going to give it to us. And then guess what? We are up double digits,
mm-hmm.
and we pin our ears back, and this is when the sacks start to happen
right.
in the third and fourth quarter because Bryce now has to get them back in the game. And through that, we end up winning right. this game.
You take Chuba Hubbard out of the game,
absolutely.
And it's go time.
That's how I think this game plays out. I'm not saying it's going to be, like, easy, but that's eventually when we get to the fourth quarter, you're going to be like, okay, this is where we're at. That's the winning formula. If, in fact, Mike, they come out and get Hubbard started and he's chewing us up, now you're giving Bryce confidence because now they can run that play action as we've been talking about with us.
Right.
And now it might be a little bit of a different story. I think that's how this game has to go.
We spoke with the writer from the Charlotte Observer, and he was talking about, you know, their defensive scheme. Alex Zetlow was saying, to your point, the cover three, not really, I mean, blitzing, trying to get it from his down lineman. They added some pieces. But Derrick Brown has always been a thorn in our side from the former Auburn defensive lineman. So, again, get a handle on him. But yeah, I'm trying not to get over my skis on it. But man, you got me. I got the juices pumping. You got me fired up about this.
Well, here's the deal with Derrick Brown too, and I'm curious if Z Rob, that's Zach Robinson, our offensive coordinator, make them big boys run, man. Throw some screens to Bijan. Let's just not run the ball at him. Right. Make the big boys run. Let's get him out in space and run some screens. Get him out wide, Mike. Run some wide stuff. Make this dude run. And have him have to chase right. plays.
Now, Kyle Pitts was on the injury report with a toe. Kyle Pitts does show up as a full participant, parentheses, toe. So he's dealing with a bit of discomfort. But I'd love to see, and again, maybe it's quick hits. Let him just beat a guy one-on-one and use the athleticism on the outside. But I'd love to see Pitts, and slants too, the quick hits. Boom, 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 boom. Get the ball out. If the long stuff is not developing, if they're going to take it away, let's get some stuff underneath and break some tackles.
Those zones will be there for Kyle Pitts, by the way, as we discuss Falcons Carolina here on a Friday, getting ready for Sunday's matchup. By the way, our coverage right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Do not miss it. We've got it right here starting 11 o'clock all the way up till kickoff, actually way before 11 with all our pregame shows. But we've got the action. What did you want to add, Day-Day, real quick? What were you saying? Oh, linebackers.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go. See, there. I mean, I'd love to come back to work and Wes was talking. Wes Drew Ham was on earlier. We come back and talk about what should be a Kyle Pitts box score. 6 or 7 catches for 90 to 100 yards and a touchdown. And being that red zone weapon. Pitts in a red zone, baby. Can I check that off my bingo card for Sunday? I want to see it.
I'd love to see it, too. Join 92.9 The Game and Bud Light Falcons versus Panthers watch party Sunday. It's Hooligans Tavern in Roswell. Watch the Falcons battle the Panthers and Abe Gordon, Freddie the Falcon, and cheer team compete in Bud Light's football toss to win an all-exclusive trip for two to Vegas to compete for the Super Bowl tickets. So win Falcon tickets or an autographed Falcon item. And, of course, great specials on Bud Light Sunday at Hooligan's Tavern in Roswell. Must be 21 years or older. Please drink responsibly. We're coming back. Mike revises one of his picks.
I'm going to try.
Next.
Appellate court.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Plead your case so we can talk about this. It's Dukes and Bell. We already had our picks.
Yeah, I know.
Of
I know.
The week.
Week.
And
week.
Then you said as we started the 5 o'clock hour, I might want to rethink something.
Well,
what's
going on? I got the Packers and -7.5. Carl was thinking about it. He pulled the trigger on the Falcons, -5.5. Then I found out that Tucker Kraft apparently hurt his knee, the Packers tight end, at practice. And now he's listed as questionable for Sunday's game. He's accounted for 2 of the Packers' touchdowns so far this season.
That's true.
Ergo, I might want to back off that Packers -7.5 against Cleveland, although you could argue that even if he plays 15 snaps, Micah Parsons could turn Joe Flacco into a pretzel.
Yeah, I think they're going to chase. Well, they're not going to chase him because Flacco can't run. But they're going to
be like a sleeper sofa.
Yeah, they're going to be all over him. I still like the Packers, Mike. I feel you on that because he's been such a big part of their offense. But let's be honest, their defense is carrying them.
Right.
Their defense is carrying them right now. I mean, like Jordan Love hasn't thrown for 350 and 4 touchdowns. Hasn't needed to.
Yeah, so, they've scored 54 points, but a lot of this coming off the back of great field position, flipping the field, et cetera.
Absolutely.
But Cleveland.
If I was you, I'd stay the course.
Well, again, I just didn't want to pile. Generally, when two hosts on this show or more select one team and it's the Falcons, bad things tend to happen.
Oh, you want to jump on the Falcons?
No.
You want to rise up with me?
Now you're guilt tripping me on this. I won't do it.
You want to rise up with me? You need to rise up with me.
I'll just stick with the pack then.
The prosecution would like to interject here.
All right, okay. What are you feeling on this, Big O?
Tucker Kraft hurt his knee yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying that this information is now being revealed after it happened yesterday?
Yeah, it happened.
Well, this report just dropped at 3:18. I know we did
yesterday.
The picks at 3:44, but I did not see this until 4:06.
You know what? Somebody who has Tucker Kraft on their team, I saw this yesterday and freaked the blank out. So.
Well, you could have interjected when I said I like the Packers -7.5.
These are your picks, sir.
What are you, the silent friggin' partner over here?
You can't see me. He came back in the game, though. He came back in the game, Day-Day.
You know what? Just go and you take Miami or take Buffalo again, pal. By the way, more people freaking out. It was before – we said at the end of the game, it was before halftime.
Yeah.
When Josh Allen took a knee but really didn't take a knee, should have been a live ball, and the Dolphins would have had a chance to release a field goal, but they didn't get that because obviously the refs whistled it dead. Doesn't matter. The one thing for – if you had the Buffalo last night, Prater misses a field goal. Very curious decision because the way the clock came at the 2-minute warning, Dolphins burned a timeout. They kind of had to kick a field goal, 44-yard field goal. Dangerous if it gets blocked, but they rolled it and you still didn't get the cover.
Yeah, when Prater missed that field goal, you knew, right? You're like, oh, because those are points you need, especially in a big number like
you
that.
You believe Tua is a bust?
I don't think he's a bust. I just don't think that he is what we thought he was. And I say we. I was never a believer. Listen, I've always thought Jalen Hurts would be the better player in the NFL. most people thought once he got benched in the championship game against Georgia that was never going to be the case. Like, that was the defining moment in his career. Guys, this dude lost four games in college. Like, seriously, he's got like a 79 or 8%, whatever it is, Mike, in his winning percentage. All this guy does is win. And right. Tua, through his struggles, I'm not talking about the concussions. Think about Tua's journey and his time in the NFL. Mike, it's always felt uneasy. It's always felt like it's just been not as smooth as Jalen Hurts. And you're going to say Jalen has a better team. It's not the point. I'm just talking about playing the quarterback position has been an easier ride. And I just feel like for Tua, what you need from him and what he's capable of are two different things. And you saw that last night.
Yeah, I mean, but he made a terrible throw at the end, which resulted in the pick. The running into the kicker, if you didn't see it last night on Amazon, I presume most folks are watching on Thursday, but the running into the kicker on special teams, that really ruined things. If you had, if you're Buffalo and you're thinking the comeback, just took all the wind out of the sails. And then, but Tua throws that pick. McDaniel says, you can't throw it. And then Tua says, I'll make that throw 10 times out of 10.
Yep.
Which means there's a bit of a disconnect in your processing and what you should be doing, according to your coach, who pulled a pretty ballsy move by calling a lateral on a third down play to try to break down some. You saw that, man? They had like a second and long, or third and long, I should say, knowing that they're going to go for it on fourth. That's what we talked about with Brian McFadden, saying, you know, he'd be a great offensive coordinator, but maybe he's not head coaching material.
Yeah, McDaniel. And look, that's
with the loss, he's at 500 for his career.
But that's what's going to happen if he gets let go. His NFL career is not over. He will end up somewhere on somebody's offensive staff. Eventually, whether it's next year or whatever, and he'll be running somebody's offense. I will say his offense, and we know this, guys. Remember a few years ago, they put up 70 on the Broncos, and everybody was freaking out, like, what is going on? This Mike McDaniel guy, he hadn't lost any of that. The execution hasn't been there, and his quarterback has not been as good as he's needed to be. So, look,
should Tariq Hill have dove? Should he have dove for the end zone on
yes.
the play where he goes out of bounds?
Yes.
I mean, that's
the effort.
This gets back to what we were talking about yesterday. I mean, is he trending towards Antonio Brown crazy land? Not that far. But where's the commitment? Where's the season's on the line? You said 0-3 is a death sentence for most teams.
Now,
come on.
Here's what's crazy. He did get 10 targets last night, which was more than he's gotten in the first two games.
Made an incredible catch.
He did. And he scored a touchdown. But I just feel like, you know, and this may be overstated, Mike. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just kind of recapping last night. And what we learned from this game, guys, is these division games can be more difficult than you think. Nobody expected Miami to show up last night. And again, the number was 11.5, and they didn't cover, but they beat them by 10 points. The thing for me is, once Tyreek got his bag, did he change?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Totally. He won a he got a Super Bowl ring with the Chiefs.
Okay.
And he went into total South Florida semi-retirement.
All right. So then the Chiefs, maybe they did, and now it seems that way. They did the best thing for their organization, even though they went on to win two more Super Bowls, right? They went on to two more Super Bowls after he left. I'm just simply saying, like, that's the danger sometimes when you have these difference makers. Once you get that bag, man, Tua, what he gets to Miami, he's talking so much about how Tua does this, that, and the other better than Patrick Mahomes. You guys remember this. We hadn't seen all of that. And so now he quits on his team last year, and I said to Mike, dude, there was no repercussions from that. Mike McDaniel didn't do anything. They talked to him, but that was more Drew Rosenhaus behind the scenes.
Quits on his team.
He didn't do anything. And so he comes into camp, and this is the culture we're talking about. Now he's apologizing to everybody, and everybody says, no, we're cool. They're 0-3, Mike. Something internally is not right with that team.
And that's why I saw this morning, it was at the gym, I saw Ryan Clark and Cam. Man, the hats are just out of control. But anyway, Cam on ESPN this morning.
What Cam have on?
And just with different, you know, the hair through the hat. I mean, you got to have the hair to do that, but he's got it. But he was talking, and I agree with Cam on this.
Egregious.
Get Tyreek Hill back to Kansas City, because everything you just said, we just talked about, he thinks you get back to Andy Reid in Kansas City, and he's back in line. I don't know about that, but I think he's certainly he fits a role, and he's got something that nobody on that roster can do for Kansas City.
Here's the thing, though. Like,
you say the toothpaste will go back in the tube?
No. I was the one who told you. I said, look, there's a if he becomes available, would they even want him back? He's inexpensive now. The contract has kind of played itself out. They paid him the first 3 years. My thing about Tyreek Hill is he completely does not respect Mike McDaniel.
Right.
Does he walk off the field with an Andy Reid coach team?
No, that's what I'm saying. There's the culture in Kansas City, which does not allow for that.
No.
You know?
No.
I just my two cents with, by the way, if you're just getting in your car, hello, Dukes and Bell, a young way coup. It was official today. Falcons
do. So you keeping the pick?
Well, they're not going to let me out. So, I mean, I'm looking at this.
Wow.
I got a big shake in my head.
Man, they got my head over there. Judge robes
on
in
what?
There.
Don't take the package. Stick it right up your hanky. Watch this. All right?
I still like the pack. Go, Pack, go.
Go,
I like
Pack,
the pack.
Go. Yeah, minus seven. 6.5 is much more enjoyable. Yeah, seven and a half. But again, without Tucker Kraft and Orange saying, do your research, as Thomas Dimitrov famously said to Jarvis Davis back in the day.
Do your research.
All right, man. But no, I do like the Falcons. I'm with Carl on this, though. The minus 5.5. It just seems like after talking to the writer from The Observer, that what they're going to try, it's not like they're going to bring the house. And it seems like, man, we're up for another big day of Bijan running the football.
And I love it. I love it. You just mentioned the real news today. And again, we're going to dive into this a little bit more here coming up before 6. But Young Weku released today. And look, we had a kicking problem. Nobody wanted to admit it. Nobody wanted to look this in the face and say, hey, how do we handle this? Until it was right in our faces. And then it became, okay, what do we do? I think the Falcons, Mike, and what Coach Raheem Morris told us yesterday, or Wednesday, should I say, they gave him all the options to work through this.
Right.
Guys, not like who was on the couch this week. He was kicking, okay? And I said to Mike, they're seeing it. We're not seeing it right now. And behind the scenes, obviously, they didn't feel comfortable enough because they could have waited to do this. They didn't have to rush to do this. They could have said, you know what? We got another week or two that we can use Parker Romo, and we'll figure out what we want to do with Koo. Obviously, he was not feeling like, or they were not feeling like he was doing the job, Mike. So they make the decision. And I'm actually glad. I'm not glad that Koo got cut. I'm just,
right.
This was something that was blatantly obvious to me. And it's frustrating that it took this long for everyone else to see in that organization. Or maybe they did, Mike, and just felt like everyone and said, he'll be fine. Until he wasn't. I'm just glad we're not dealing with this for 4 or 5 more weeks.
No, and now you could argue that if Koo is, let's just for argument's sake, we win the game. But maybe, Parker Romo misses a relatively short kick. Now he's going to look over his shoulder. Like, he's got the job.
Yes.
Because I think we all know, kicking is like the free throw or the 5-foot putt. It's just such a mental thing.
It's hard,
so
man.
So let this guy, let the guy cook. And, look, the audition in Minnesota is about as good as it gets. A 54-yarder making all of them. Can't ask you anything more. A.J. Terrell, also today, coach talking to the media, telling our buddy Joe Patrick and Mark Grimondi that it's not going to be – he doesn't anticipate A.J. Terrell as a long injury, week to week.
That's good.
So as we said, we didn't really like this early bye week, but now, if A.J. Terrell can kind of – if they can limp to the line and or maybe still want to need him against Buffalo. But anyway, Commanders, here's the other thing. Buffalo, you saw the injuries they had on defense. Didn't exactly look like world beaters on a short turnaround Thursday night. Commanders don't have Jaden Daniels this week. They're going to go with Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of teams already this first quarter of the season banged up. We're relatively healthy, knock wood.
That's why you got to take advantage of the situation. You got to go handle business. All right, when we come back, are we overvaluing the defense? We'll talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Falcons move on from kicker Young Weku, who's released today. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Parker Romo will kick for us not only this weekend, but into the foreseeable future. And that doesn't change, I think, Mike, our opinions on how this game's going to play out. We kind of felt like it was going to be Parker Romo earlier this week. Coach just wouldn't acknowledge it and saying, we got time. Right. So that news hit today, guys. If you're just joining us, thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. Are we overvaluing this defense? And we started today because a guy hit me up and said, man, you keep talking about how good this defense is. We only played so many games, blah, blah, blah. These guys are young. All that's valid. But I think, Mike, whether it was Wes, whether it's been Arch, whether it's been other people who are watching us from afar, we played Mina Kimes for you yesterday, Dominic Foxworth. He's talking about it. There are other national analysts who are like, I really like what I'm seeing. Guys, that's the difference. It's not just our view of this because we're here in the ATL. Mike, it is, when does the Falcons defense look like this early in the season?
Right. Now, the only reality check to what we did on Sunday Night Football is how bad J.J. McCarthy might be. You know, because remember, guys, we've got now five starts for our man, Michael Penix Jr. Carl and I were looking back at the numbers. He averaged 22 pass attempts in his career at Michigan to McCarthy, and he averaged 157 yards per game. Michael Penix averaged more than 286, if you take it back to Indiana, and over 340 yards a game when he was at UW. So we haven't really had a chance to see Michael air it out. He had 298 yards in week one against the Bucs. Last week, I mean, we ran the football effectively, and they weren't going to give you the home run ball. But getting back to the defense, McCarthy held the ball too long. Will a veteran quarterback do that? And the Baker Mayfield beat us. There's a veteran quarterback. We were able to kind of keep him, you know, contained, and then until we couldn't when he escaped and was able to kind of move the chains. And, you know, and the one, like Jesse Bates gambled on an inside move, and unfortunately they beat us over the top with Egbuka. But I think this defense, it's maybe not as good. The truth lies somewhere. We're not as great as what we did on Sunday night, but we're a hell of a lot better than we've been. How about that?
Yeah. Look, there's a lot more tests in front of us. Each week is a test. Arguably the best test that we're going to get all season long, and this is just what it is. And I don't know if he'll be available by the end of the season, but there are two. One is the Bills on Monday night. That's October 13th. Josh Allen arguably is on his way to another MVP, okay? Period. Don't know if we're getting Purdy against the 49ers or not. That game's on the road. He could be hurt. He might not be. It might be Mac Jones. It might be Purdy. But that doesn't concern me. When you start talking about these quarterbacks, and again, no disrespect to Drake May or Daniel Jones or, again, whoever the hell's the Saints quarterback's going to be, the next test, guys, for me comes when we see the Rams at the end of the season because of Matthew Stafford's experience. But by then, Mike, we're going to know what we truly are. And I think that transpires between week 7, 8, 9, and you really get a sense like, okay, we are who we think we are, or that was a facade. Like, it wasn't real. But we're not, and this is the cool thing, we're not seeing the quality of quarterbacks week in and week out because of the schedule where we're seeing, you know, whether it's Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes or, you know, we don't have to deal with that. So I feel like if these guys continue to gain confidence, I don't feel like I'm overvaluing this defense. I just feel like Mike said it, it's way better than it's been, and that's given me a lot of confidence for us moving forward and being really good.
I know that we have been just, you know, aching, dying for this kind of a defense. And 2017, that's the thing. 17, I went back and looked at it. I said 29. It was 28 points, Carl, we gave up against the Rams and the Eagles. Imagine holding the Rams and the Eagles to 28 points. And you don't make it to the Super Bowl.
It's hard to believe.
We lost to that Eagles team. Remember, that was Sarkisian. Yeah. And that's the one where we're like, man, if we could ever get the offense and the defense. Because the 2016 defense, that was as good as – it was a scrappy bunch of rookies and young guys and Freeney. And unfortunately, they just couldn't hold up under the pressure in the second half in the Super Bowl. They did everything but. And now this year, you're feeling like, man, we got a really young, dynamic defense. The offense, I think, again, if we could just get this thing down the field and start scoring in the red zone, it's only two games. That's another thing. Nobody out there, including me, wants to hear about patience. Patience. I'm up Zach Robinson's tuchus. Like, let's go. Let's get things going. Let's get Pitts involved. But I do think over the course of 17 weeks, that's going to happen.
I agree.
Right? It's got to.
It's going to happen. And a guy just hit me up. Dukes, you forgot Jaden Daniels. Guys, we don't know if he's going to be available. He's missing Sunday. If he is, then throw him into the list. I have no problem. But you're still talking about three guys that really may challenge you in a way that you feel like, man, their quarterback is way better than anything we've seen this season. I mean, are you afraid of the Jets situation right now? I mean, the Seahawks and Sam Darnold don't scare me.
Right.
So you start talking about what we're going to see down the road. They're like three games.
Uh-oh.
Where you go, hey, quarterback is really good, and this is going to be a good test. I don't feel that way with the way Bryce Young has played the first 2 weeks. But I'll be damned, Mike. He killed us last year, and everybody's afraid of having to revisit that on Sunday and say, is Bryce Young going to throw four or five touchdowns? Guys, I think the difference this year is the defensive coordinator knows what he's doing. The coordinator last year, there were too many breakdowns, Mike, and miscommunications, which is why Jimmy Lake is not here. If we are able to do that and not have those miscommunications, which I think have been fixed, then we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine.
I know that, you know, as a fan, we're stoked about this defense. I'm really excited to see these guys get after it. Ben, if we come back here on Monday, and you and I are talking about four more sacks.
Oh, I'll be.
Imagine 10 sacks in two games for a Falcon fan.
No, I'll be ecstatic.
I mean, 17, that's like I said, that team got after it. Now we're seeing some real, the good news is there's some really good things, some good news. Because I don't know, and I know I've asked you this 5,000 times, would it mattered if everybody had played together for a couple of, I don't know, for a half in the preseason?
Offense or defense?
Both.
Okay.
You know, to just get some of the bugs out and get some of the rust off for that week one with the Bucs. Again, not everybody starts their starters, I know. Hey, moot point. Forget it. Forget I said it. Scrap it. We'll move ahead. Just go kick that Bryce. I want Bryce Young's head in a Bojangles box. How's that?
All right. Let's do it, man. 404-726-0929. You guys can chat.
Without the tea.
Oh.
We need all that tea.
The tea's good, though.
Yeah, but you drink something that sits in the fridge all week.
No, I know. It's true. What?
Those are good.
They're called Bowberry biscuits, sir.
Is that what they are?
They're Bowberry.
Yeah, I feel so dirty when I cheat on Popeyes, though, with Bojangles.
Why? They're cousins.
They're not the same ownership, though.
Just kind of the same tree, fried chicken, that's really good.
Yeah, it is really
biscuits,
good.
Southern institution.
By the way, biscuits at the Fairburn Popeyes last Sunday.
Excellent. Cooked to perfection.
You know when you squeeze it and the butter? Yeah. Oh, my. It was so good. Matter of fact, I have to get some of that on the way home from Tallahassee on Sunday.
404-726-0929. Look, you can have Bojangles. You shouldn't feel like you're cheating, okay?
Right.
And the other part of this is you just get through the line faster. Let's be honest, okay? So I'm not cheating when I can get this versus that 15 minutes sooner.
And I'm going to tell you, spicy's out at Bojangles.
Well, this is true. Are you willing to wait? No, I'm not. I'm not willing to wait.
It's like the waiting for the spicy at Popeye sometimes can be like waiting for the ice cream at McDonald's.
How do they not make enough spicy? That's my thing. Y'all make an equal amount of not spicy and then an equal amount of spicy. So when I roll through, you have an equal amount of both.
Again, especially when I'm in the Fairburn drive-thru, not the Dunwoody drive-thru. You know what I'm saying, Carl? Give me some heat.
Okay. Dunwoody likes it spicy too now. Don't get him wrong.
It's true. Hey, man, no dogs this weekend. Do want to remind you, Georgia Tech is playing, guys. They're a 23.5-point favorite. Hosting Temple. Mm. It is on CW.
No letdown. No letdown.
No, you cannot.
I don't think Brent allows something like that. I mean, look, it's human nature. They're going to preach no letdown, maybe a little flat in the first half, but the volume, I should say, the depth that they've got over Temple is not even funny. They'll beat Temple.
Mike,
easy.
Do you feel like we had Brent Key on earlier this week? As a matter of fact, to start the week, he's great. He just is. He's got his own humor and personality about how he handles stuff. But these kids have really bought in. But I was going to say, I don't think Haynes King allows that. That's how
he's
much
an alpha.
Of a leader.
Right.
Yeah, he is. I don't think Haynes King is going to allow that just because we're feeling good. They are ranked 18th in the country, but they're hosting Temple. And Georgia State, guys, at number 20, Vandy. Vandy's really good.
Yeah, Pavia, that's another team. That's sort of a guy who's like sort of like a cult of personality and a will to power that Pavia has become for those guys. So, all right.
What's the number on that day, Dave? Because they won Georgia State beat them last year, right?
Wow. Yeah. And again, what they did to, I know Sellers got injured, but what they did to South Carolina.
Shut them down. They shut them down. And we didn't mention this, but we did talk about it on our pre show. Check that out. Monday, we'll be back around 11:15 or so. As we let you in behind the scenes. But the ACC is looking at a set a new schedule format, which is going to require all members of the ACC to play at least 10 games, Mike, against Power 4 schools. We kind of discussed this. Guys, this is not for this year, but it's for moving forward. They are trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's the SEC and the Big Ten, Mike, because they want to eventually have more playoff teams.
So they want to see you playing a stiffer competition. The problem is, can the ACC handle that? You need better coaches in the ACC. I know Belichick's there, but again, that seems like it's a short-term deal. I wonder what happens at UCF, by the way. We didn't talk about that game they played out in Orlando. But, you know, Virginia Tech fired their coach. Miami's is really looking competitive. They started like that last year, but this year seems like they could go the distance with Carson Beck. Florida State, is Florida State just going to be a yo-yo with the portal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does Norvell have a coach? Here's the thing. Gus Malzahn might be a genius, but does he leave next year? Right? And then Florida State's right back to square one offensively.
How far is Florida State going?
Well, that's just it. I don't know.
Okay.
But that's, you know, Miami to be the litmus test in 2 weeks. Oh, they could, you know, you just need, the whole conference needs to step up. But the good news is, perfect time for Brent Key and Georgia Tech to have their house in order.
Yeah.
As the rest of the ACC, let's be honest, it's kind of a muddled mess.
Yeah, we talked about that as well and said, look, who are the teams that can really win the ACC? Because, again, Georgia's not playing this week. And we were like, okay, Florida, you know, obviously Miami and not Florida, but Miami and, right. and Florida State.
And Wes said, look,
but Georgia Tech is also right there.
And Wes, I mean, he really bangs a drum for that Clemson with a P, feeling that, you know, that, yeah, I mean, certainly they can. I mean, they did, you know, start horribly and then they lost to South Carolina and still made the playoff. You know, they can still get in there. SMU. I mean, I'm not ready to crown those guys. It's so weird to talk about SMU and the ACC in the first place.
No, it is. They were in the championship game last year. Hey, as we get ready to wrap things up, we have the high school football scoreboard show. Day-Day, where are you headed tonight, by the way?
Hey.
Oh, he got that kind of clout already,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah. Now, does he do mixtapes?
That's behind you before your time.
I've always felt, and I think Carl, you and I, because our dads were a certain way, and Day-Day is a Mac, so the son of a Mac. He'll be the son. Ask yourself, who's the Mac?
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. Congratulations to your son. Enjoy that. But the scoreboard show, just saw Coach out there. Garrett's going to be in tonight for Sam, so make sure you stick around. They're going to get you caught up on all of the high school action and throughout the evening keep you updated because it's such a big deal in our wonderful state, and we know that. Hey, Creflo Nickel, that's one of our followers.
Yeah.
Says, respectfully, Dukes and Bell, I don't think the kicking in Minneapolis was as good as it gets because we haven't seen Parker kick outdoors in the elements yet. Let's hope he's as good outdoors as he is indoors. This weekend?
Correct.
Outdoors. All right.
Right. I mean, you know the schedule. We're in Mercedes-Benz. We're in the Superdome. You know, I mean, there are some outdoor games and some colder weather later in the year. But, yeah, I mean, I still think it was the right move. I would have just simply moved on Monday. But Coach, put it this way. Coach gave Young Wei Koo every opportunity to get the job back. How about that?
He did. By the way, Young Wei Koo released by the Falcons today. If you're going, what happened? That's what happened today. Sunday, what happens? Whatever happens, we're talking about it with you on Monday, 2 o'clock. Make sure you are here. All right, Big O, we got to get out of the way and clear our throat! Braves begin a series with the Tigers today. Also, Dream eliminated from the WNBA playoffs. Great season, but unfortunately, they took a 1-0 lead and weren't able to take advantage of it as they lose to the Indiana Fever. All right, guys, enjoy your weekend. We will be back on Monday at 2 o'clock. Day-Day, enjoy tonight, but we will talk to you as well on Monday. Big O, enjoy the scoreboard show, guys. They'll have all of the updates from around the state, locally, and, of course, around the state as well. All right, Mike, we got to roll.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.